Clare FM's Morning Focus.
Brought to you by Shannon Heritage. At Craig and Owen, be amazed at what life was like over 1,000 years ago. Shannon Heritage, bringing our history closer to you.
You're welcome back to the programme it's Morning Focus here with you until 12. Now let's take a trip down a musical memory lane. Long before the likes of Justin Bieber or Ed Sheeran were selling out multiple nights at Croke Park, it was the likes of Dickie Rock, Joe Dolan and Brendan Boyer who had young people flocking to dance halls around the country in their droves. For the new book due out later this year, From the Candy Store to the Galty Moor, one of my next guests is asking the public to submit their fondest show band memories from music, dance and the romance that inevitably followed. We'll meet PJ Cunningham in a second, but first of all, our own Chris Hanrahan. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Gavin. How are you?
I'm very good
morning,
sir.
PJ.
That's
Chris,
PJ.
How are you?
Chris, talk to me about the show band era. And I know that's the broadest question anybody may ever be asked in this programme. But how big was it, first of all?
It was massive. People don't realise it, like, because you came from the era of the big band, when the band sat down and 10 and 12, 15 musicians, and they played music and the vocalists came up to the mic. And all of a sudden, a band came along from Strabane, the Clipper Carlton. They kicked away the chairs and they started this. And they were the start of it. Mm. And rock and roll was breaking in the States and breaking in England. And a lot of people complained about the show bands, that they did covers all the time. But there was nothing else there. There was no local radio. RTE, good old RTE, good old Radio Ireland. You might get a few on the sponsored programmes, a few tracks. Radio Luxembourg was the other thing. The showbands came, and all of a sudden, dance halls started springing up. There was Roseland and Moat and Jetland and Limerick. They started springing up all over the place. And I saw the Capital Showband in Paddy Conn's in Ennis, the New Hall. There was 2,500 people there.
Wow.
On one night. So it was incredible. And people, you know, modes of transport that time, there wasn't buses, there wasn't cars. They came in, and then all small, sort of smaller halls started developing all over the country. But it was a massive era. And then, of course, bands began to make records. The Ryle were the first with the Come Down the Mountain, Skatey Daily. They were the first to do it. And there's a great story. It was just listening to it during the week there. Brendan Boyer, they were hitting a tour in England because there was no dances here during Lent. Believe that now. No dances. Only St. Patrick's Night. And the Beatles were on the same bill as them. They were after buying a new van with these airplane seats, a very modern thing. And John Lennon says to him, who was admiring it, and it was either Boyer or Tom Dunphy said to him, "You'll own one of these someday or another." Only to realise they could have bought the whole factory. So there you are. But it was a massive era. And it brought the music to the people.
Absolutely.
And I don't know where they came from, where all those dances went to. But, you know, on any given night, you have 1,000 people down at Paddy Conn's, you would.
And PJ, Paddy Conn's obviously a very famous dance hall here in Ennis, but there were the equivalent to Paddy Conn's right across this country in most main towns?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was somewhere up to about maybe 1,000 dance halls, but there was about 40, I'd say, up to 40 in Clare, you know. And
really?
Then there was
a huge number.
Oh yeah, there was, like, if you go, there was carnivals in Whitegate, there was the parochial hall in Middletown, Malbay, you had Lahinch Center Ballroom, Kinkora Ballroom, I think that was in Lisdoon, and there was carnivals. You see, this was the thing, and Chris just mentioned it there about the parish priest and not allowing stuff during Lent. But the parish priest, you see, was on the horns of his dilemma, because more often than not, he was involved in the GEA, or if not, obviously in the parish council. So he saw, as Chris said, like, instead of getting a couple of hundred to a ceilidh, you know, for the walls of Limerick or the turkey in the straw, he was getting thousands, and they were streaming in from the Rock and Briar, as they say, to come and see Dickie Rock, you know, and Spit on Me Dickie, and Brendan Boyer, and Margot, and all these people. The Clipper Carlton started it. But there was something like up to 300 to 500 bands traversing Ireland nightly, particularly from Thursday to Sunday, following this round. But getting back to the poor parish priest, like, he was on the horns of a dilemma, because he was charged by the man on high getting in plenty of money for the church and obviously the GEA as well, because the man on high is a good GEA man. And secondly, he had to keep the moral fibre of the young people intact. So this led to the case where he was supposed to go around during slow sets and maybe have a walking stick and put it between a man and woman and say, leave room for the Holy Spirit there, which is the old guy, you know.
And was that the case in most of these dances? Well,
it was dying at that stage because jiving was coming in. They were learning jiving from the States. And speaking about the parish priest, Brush Shields of Skid Row tells a great story. He was doing a dance out in Connemara, out in Cliffs and that way, and the parish... Obviously, the local hall would be run by the parish priest, and the parish priest said to him, Brush, he said, we had a bad night. And Brush says to him, there's no need for two of us to have a bad night. But it was in the 50s, the mid-50s. It was dying because jiving was coming in and so on and so on. And the crowds were so vast that they were losing control slowly but surely. But they did own a lot of the parish in the smaller places as... Jimmy Higgins, who's on, Jimmy, a good friend of mine up in Galway, he said there was first-class show bands and then there was the second division. It was like the soccer. And the second division sort of played the smaller halls. Mm. But the bigger bands, and then the likes of Albert Riddles came along and they built them all over the country. Like, which there were only four walls, but the people came to them. And sadly, I passed Drumkeen last year. I was going down to Kilkenny and Drumkeen is gone. The Ayster Ballroom in Drumkeen, one of the most iconic ballrooms. It was in the middle of nowhere, yet it was Sunday night there. They came from Tipperary, from Cork, from Clare, from Limerick. And speaking about Paddy Cairns here in us, and it's sad to say there isn't even a plaque on the wall to say this is where it all happened. And there's a great history of Paddy Cairns because it was built on the walls of the old jail.
Yeah, and is this... Is it of such significance that there should be a plaque?
Oh, there should be, because you talk to the Madden family, Michelle especially, and she'll tell you, not all people go in there to buy furniture. And I go in myself now and again, I stand on the balcony, nothing has changed, and I look down there and I can still see the Royal Showband, or maybe Roy Orbison or the Everly Brothers, I can still see them on stage there.
Should they be remembered like that across the country, PJ?
Well, Chris is spot on there, because what was happening... And these people were in the vanguard of this, was that there was a cultural revolution in Ireland. You know, the 50s brought, by and large, electricity to all the four corners of the country under the rural electrification scheme. But it also brought the amplifier. Yeah, it brought power. And suddenly, instead of having these staid bands or ceilidhs, you now had, you know, bass guitar, rhythm guitar, lead guitar, and were banging out, as Chris was saying there, instead of jiving, there was twisting, there was all this stuff. You see, it was happening with Elvis and the Hound Dogs in America, and it was happening with Cliff Richard in England, if you like, and then it started to happen with the show bands in Ireland. And RTE had just come on board, and there was a thing called the Show Band Show. So it was very, very now and again it would happen. No, it would happen more than now and again, Gavin, that you would watch, say, Dickie Rock on the Show Band Show one night during the week, and you'd be saying to himself, he's in Milltown Malbay on Friday night, Saturday night or Sunday night. So you were actually bringing people from the silver screen right down to your own backyard. And because the Albert Reynolds of these world and people that Chris is talking about there, they had the foresight, you know, to make sure that there was big attractions, and they got their publicity right. There was Spotlight magazine. I don't know if people remember that, but there was the local newspapers. Like the Clare Champion would have been full of, and in my own local newspaper in Offaly, I remember looking to see who was playing in the Central Ballroom, the Roselaston Moat, and you were prepared to travel because the Morris Miners were on the go then and things like that. You were prepared to travel maybe 30, 40, even 50 miles if there was a good band, a Division 1 band. As Chris calls them,
culturally and technologically, it seems it all came about at the right time.
And Gavin, that's what myself and Joe Carney, who did the book on rural electrification last year, Defender, was like, we were just saying to ourselves, even bigger culturally than that was the social revolution that took place, particularly in the late 50s and 60s and early 70s, where people were no longer matchmaking, as happened with the John B. Keane stories of the 40s and 50s. They went out and they made their own matches. In other words, they transformed from De Valera's comely maidens on the green to girls with beehives and mini skirts and stilettos. The guys changed from having crew cuts to having Jesus sort of long hair and beards. And suddenly there was the cultural revolution that was hitting the world, America and Europe in the 60s, came to Ireland. And its own part of it at the epicenter was these weekends, you know, where you look forward to the show bands coming, the dance halls which were either created or the marquees that were flung up in fields for the summer months, okay, for various things. And you had hundreds and thousands. And look, there's stories that how people met their partners. There's stories how people lost their partners. There's stories about, you know,
and you're looking,
there's so many good things at a dance.
You're looking for some of those stories.
And you hope to get the woman of your dreams on a given night. If you didn't do that, more often than not on the way out, because fellas were tanked, there'd be a fight to at least give you something else as an add-on bonus. And then if on the way home, you got a bag of chips from a fella in a car on the side of the street, or in some sort of a van on the side of the street. So you had plenty of stuff going on.
Okay.
There was so much happening that what we're looking for is the people, you know, the young people of that era who are now maybe like myself in their late 50s, 60s or whatever they are, they have stories to tell that...
I will tell people how they can get you those stories, but I wanted to ask Chris about that as well. Is the story of the show band era as much as what happened on the dance floor as opposed to what happened on the stage?
Oh, yes, very much so, very much so. This culture came in and it overtook the whole country. And along with that, along with the show bands, like the likes of Paddy Cons had a sprung floor on it. There's springs every 9 inches and it was a lovely floor to dance on. And the likes of Mick Tullahunty, big bands, Morris Mulcahy, they would play there and people would come from Limerick all around because it was such an unbelievable dance floor on it.
And I'm getting that in the texts. Oh my God, I'm in tears, says one texter. I danced in Lahinch, Paddy Cons, the Marquee in Kilmurry, McMahon, Kincora. Another texter, Oyster Ballroom, Drumkeen, Classic Ballroom, Gort, the Royal George in Limerick, Kincora Ballroom, Liz Doon plus Paddy Cons here in town. People clearly travelled, like, just like
yes,
you said.
Yeah, and there was another place in Limerick. It's one of the last list. It's a bingo hall now, and that was the Stella. The Stella on a Saturday night would be a rocking city. And there was no dances allowed in Clare on a Saturday night, only on Sunday nights. Listen, we lived in a troubled
different
era.
Times.
How we survived it all, I don't know. And of course, health and safety didn't matter at that time because marquees were out in the fields and you just took it as it was. But they were all during the summer, hurling clubs organised them. It was fantastic.
I'll put another text to you, PJ. Lots of halls have disappeared, more's the pity. The Classic in Gort no longer exists. A great place one time. Most younger people don't even know what we're talking about.
No, but you know what? More is the pity, and it's probably incumbent on us, and it behoves us to write it down, because it's an oral history we have. You hear there that Chris has it in his head. I have it in my head. People who went round that time. But if we let this go on another few years, a decade, that our generation will be gone, and people will be saying, geez, I wonder what happened at those carnivals, at those ballrooms.
That's why you're looking for these stories.
And that's why. And look, just to give you a lovely story, Margot, of Margot fame, you know, she was on a program, Northern Sound, with me the other day, and she was telling the story where a woman, because she was going over to Galtymore to play in Cricklewood, and a woman came up with three brown bread, and she said, look, I've sent a letter over to Johnny, I've told him you're playing in the Galtymore on Saturday night, and he said he'd collect them off the bandstand at 2 o'clock when you're finished, right? But I thought that was good. But then she told an even better story when she was in England one night playing. This fella comes up in the middle of the hall, putting dancers left, right and centre, and he has this big, big, big thing he's carrying. And he says to her at the end of it, said, Margot, will you bring that home to me mother? She'll be the first person in Ireland with a microwave oven when it arrives.
Good Lord of Almighty. How can people get in touch with you, PJ?
if they just Google my name, PJ Cunningham, it comes up what needs to be done. But otherwise, excuse me, it's ballpointpress.ie and you will get how to get in touch with us. You can either write the stories yourselves and we'll get back to you if you give us a phone number and say, look, that's very good. Can I just edit it a little bit here? Or if you want to talk the story in, you might be in a position where you say, look, I'm not very good at putting these things down, but listen to this story. I'll take the story, or Joe will take the story. We'll write it on your behalf, send it back to you, and if you're happy with it, then it'll be part of the collection that we hope to come out at the end of September, October, as a collection of memories and stories. And, you know, we just don't want people saying, I used to go there every Wednesday night or every Friday night, Sunday night.
You want to crack?
It's the little tensions, the little rows, the little stories, the little things that happen that can, you know, last a lifetime and make a story worth reading. Because we don't want to read that what happened in Clare happened in the Midlands, happened in Donegal, because we know that. But it's the things that happened to people when they went to see such and such a person.
Wish you all the very best with it. Look it up, your name on Google. PJ Cunningham, thanks for joining us this morning. And Chris, you'll get the last word briefly. Your lasting memories of the Showband era.
Lasting memories, I suppose, of the Showband era was that they played the charts for us on a Friday night for us, or a Sunday night. And when we didn't have as much media as we have at the present moment, it was great. And then there was the competition among the bands, the Royal Showband, like I'm just the Dixies from Cork, you had the Capital with Butch Moore, Joe Dolan, of course, most famous when he, and especially when he had Tommy and Jimmy Swarbrick in the band when they were the Drifters. But it was a fantastic era, like. And even moving on towards the groups, there was groups like the Memories who came in the 70s. There were Mike Swan and Dara Dial. They could do Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody inch perfect, even better than Freddie Mercury. There was Granny's Intentions with Johnny Doohan down in Limerick, with Limerick Connections. And the freshmen, of course, it's Billy Brown's anniversary this week, the freshmen from Ballymena, they could do Beach Boys stuff. Actually, they opened for the Beach Boys in Belfast and put them to shame. But it was a fantastic year. Over 500 bands doing the country. Incredible. It'll never happen again.
I'll finish off with more texts. We could go to Paddy Conn's first, to Mick Dillahunty, and the Queen's afters for a Kayleigh. Don't forget the Hydro in Kilkee, says Jimmy. The Arch Ballroom in 6 Mile Bridge was class. And I'll finish off with one for Man. We had a ball. We hadn't 5 pence to our name, but we were happy attending those dances. We swapped dresses and we walked everywhere. You've really touched a chord this
there
morning.
There you are, Gavin.
Thanks
there
very much, Chris Annan,
and
a big thanks to PJ Cunningham for joining us as well. Ballpointpress.ie, the website, for details on how to get in touch with them.
If it matters to you, let us know. Contact us now, 1850 400 964, or email focus@clare.fm.